relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Protecting Americans' health also means fighting infectious diseases. We are coordinating with the Chinese government and working closely together on the coronavirus outbreak in China. My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat.
When do you think that audio clip was taken from, my dear friends? Welcome to America First. Was it perhaps at one of the president's recent Rose Garden coronavirus response team briefings? No. It comes from the president's State of the Union address, February 4th. The president has been on the case for a long, long time. In fact, his travel ban from China predates that by almost a month. But we are being told that it's not the president who's taking it seriously, it's the left. The news is not good, my friends. I am a happy warrior. I grew up under Margaret Thatcher and Reagan. I believe in being a happy warrior. But just now we have unprecedented reports of weekly jobless claims in America doubling to 6.6 million applications for unemployment benefit, which brings the two-week total to 10 million Americans. Somebody who's written a very, very powerful piece on whether or not we can destroy the U.S. economy to save us from the Chinese coronavirus is the man behind, the co-founder of an incredibly important website. It's called The Federalist, thefederalist.com. He is Ben Domenech. Follow him on Twitter, B. Domenech, and we are going to post his article right now. It's called We're Following a One-Size-Fits-All Coronavirus Strategy Right into a Great Depression, and he joins us now. Ben, welcome back to America First.
Ben, it's great. Hey, I have to say, it's really great to be talking to you, Seb. I am. I have to say, just to your point earlier about the president's comments back on February the 4th, the other day, Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, was complaining about, you know, the administration not taking things seriously. At the point at which the president made those remarks, they had only had one commenter on his show, Morning Joe, who had said that people should not be worried about the coronavirus. They should just be worried about the flu.
Yeah.
And so I just want to put in perspective for people, the media has failed us more than any other entity in this situation. Look, I think that we could be doing a lot of things better, but we should not forget or allow them to get away with the fiction that they continue to play, the revisionist history in which they were always right, the left was always right, and it's the president's fault for everything.
Well, Ben, I it's tough to get you on this show. I'm very glad you're on now. I would like to spend an hour on the culpability of the media, because I have, you know, I'm pretty cynical after what they did to me and my family when I was in the White House. I thought I saw it all, but no, it's even worse than I imagined. And I'd like to talk about that. But what I'm really excited about talking about, I need to talk about this article that you wrote, because as I said, I don't know what you want to call it, a Reaganaut, a Thatcherite. I'm a classic conservative of the 80s mold. I don't like libertarianism. But I think my latent libertarian tendencies are coming out, and I think it's in part of because of people like you who are making me think. Because just the openings, one of the opening sentences from your article, the Wuhan virus isn't unprecedented. Everybody says it's unprecedented. Garbage, wrong. It's not unprecedented. Put it in context. We've seen many global pandemics, but what you write is, the truly unprecedented thing is to see a modern capitalist economy turn itself off for purposefully more than 60 days. And not just a modern capitalist economy, the most successful capitalist economy has switched itself off with potentially dire consequences. Do you think that as a nation we can continue this policy?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Look, let's be clear about something to start this off. This is not to say in any way that this virus, this pandemic, is not a serious thing.
Of course.
It is obviously a serious thing. And the first thing that will happen when you make the kind of argument that I have, and I've been getting the emails, as you might expect, is that people say you're a ghoul, that you want people to die, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what I think is this. I also worked at HHS for many years and in the healthcare policy sector for many years. And I will tell you, they're very smart people within that sector, including many people who are currently working with the president. But health policy people really only think about health policy.
Yes.
Their job is to do that. It's not to think about the economy or the broader effects of the kind of restrictions that we're seeing put into place. We cannot, as a nation, have a one-size-fits-all policy for this. What have we learned? We've learned a lot of good things, a lot of positive things, things that say, you know, that this is not going to be quite as much of a death sentence as many people had feared, that the rate seems to be much lower to this point, thank God, than what we've seen in Italy and in other nations around the world. That's all good. What we've also learned, though, is that this is primarily a disease, a virus that is driven by density,
yes,
by living cheek to jowl right next to each other, as you do in New York City. And just to give you an example, because I go back and forth between Virginia and New York, in New York, if I have to walk to my pharmacy to pick up a prescription, I have to run into, you know, six people on an elevator before I even get out of my building.
Right.
You know, in Virginia, I can walk to a pharmacy and back and just interact with the pharmacist. And that's the truth of how different our nation is in terms of how we live. That's why we shouldn't have a national policy driven by a nationally focused media that has an overwhelming presence in New York.
And lives in New York, exactly. The idea that communities in Montana or Vermont or New Hampshire are under the same lockdown as metropolitan cities makes no sense. And we have to start having a differentiation. In the last few minutes we have with you, Ben, and please assist me in this, if you will. There's also this totally fallacious way of looking at the national emergency, which creates a false dichotomy between the economy and health. But Ben, the economy is made up of human beings. And if an economy isn't functioning, guess what? People die. People commit suicide. The morale of the nation can be crushed. How is it that this not very sophisticated concept is not understood?
In 2009, the year after the financial crisis, we saw the level of suicide among American men jumped by 8.9%.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is primarily driven by despair, by the lack of funds. People underestimate how quickly, you know, for the working poor and for the working class, their money runs out. And for the middle class, it follows quickly after. Now, as these businesses and restaurants have to stay shuttered, they will close down and those jobs will not be there waiting for them the way that upper class jobs can in terms of people who can work from home. That's something that for whatever reason, our elitist leadership class just is forgetting in this moment. They do not understand the consequences of it. And that's why we need to have the conversation starting now, something which, to his credit, I think Governor Cuomo has said, and I think that some Republicans need to be echoing him as well. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, yesterday said there is not a one-size-fits-all solution for the nation. She understands it. I think others need to, too, as well. There needs to be a clear pathway back from this. These are the benchmarks we need to hit in order to start opening things again gradually. Maybe we open restaurants and allow people to, you know, have the,
yes,
the different, you know, seating arrangements spread out. Maybe we, you know, have, you know, different restrictions in terms of that. But the point is, we need to start that process now, today. We cannot wait another 2 months to start that process. Otherwise, we will be looking down the barrel of a Great Depression.
Well, we are massive, massive boosters of your organization, the Federalist. I tell everybody to follow it at FDRLST on Twitter. And we like everything you guys publish. But right now, if I can make a request to you, this is the issue. We cannot kill the U.S. economy simply because health professionals think it doesn't matter to our health. He's Ben Domenech. Follow him on Twitter, BDOMENECH, Ben Domenech. And his article that I have just discussed is on my Twitter feed, Seb Gorka. Looking forward to have you back, Ben. God bless you. Keep doing what you do. Back with Matt Boyle next here on America First.
Misogyny and lack of rights and women of color, like black women and a lot of other women of color, were only even eligible to vote after the Civil Rights Act was passed. So we got a lot of catching up to do, and there's so much misogyny in our political system. It's like, I mean, you know. If you know, you know.
Yeah, you know, right? Yeah, man, if you know, you know, right? I mean, so much misogyny, colored women. It's like, you know, a bartender could never be a congresswoman. Am I right? Am I right?
Why did you just do that to me, Shad? I asked you to do the AOC audio cut, and then you pre-roll it with music from the best TV show of my childhood. Are you trying to mess with me? Are you trying to make me bipolar, Shad?
I'm trying to confuse your internal monologue here.
It's painful.
So that you can never listen to it again. It's because I hate you.
I'm riffing. I'm riffing to Magnum PI. And then AOC, man! What are you doing? But it's a nice segue, thanks to Mr. G. Guess who thinks, guess who's just hinted that she's going to run for Congress? The one, the only, Candace Owens. Oh, my. Oh, my. Do it, Candace. We would love to see you, a patriot, in the halls of Congress. It's that time of the week. He may be socially distancing miles away from the swamp, but he's got his eye on us. He is, of course, the Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website out there, Breitbart.com. Matthew Boyle, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Gorka. Pleasure as always.
Are you impressed with AOC's response as to why we haven't had a female president? It's all the misogyny, Matt.
Well, I mean, I think the left wing of the Democrat Party, the socialist wing, is in trouble once Bernie Sanders is gone. The day will come when Bernie retires, and if this is the best they've got, they're in big trouble. Let's just put it
that's
that way.
Interesting. So let me tease you out on that. So if Bernie really goes down in flames, as Biden becomes whatever the nominee, and then he gets potentially crushed by President Trump, does that mean it's the end for the Democratic Socialists, Matt Boyle?
Well, no, they're going to try to keep the movement that Bernie Sanders has been leading going. And look, Bernie Sanders does lead a movement. The Democrat socialists out there, they have a movement in a way that Biden could only dream of. Biden is a pure establishment, Wall Street, corporate credit card, yes, Delaware corporation, establishment politician. He doesn't have a movement behind him like President Trump does or like Bernie Sanders does. Bernie Sanders has a movement. Bernie would probably be more of a threat to President Trump in the general election than Biden for that reason. Bernie's finished this year. Come on, right? Like, he doesn't really have much of a pathway left to the nomination. So that means Biden is just kind of like the last man standing. It's not like Biden won anything. It's just everybody else lost. And but when Bernie's gone, so this is Bernie's last run for president. He does not have another one in him, right? Yeah. He's getting up there in age. So that movement that he's built and that he's led is going to need another leader down the road. And the Bernie bros are very upset with Elizabeth Warren, so I can't see her taking up the mantle after her continued refusal to endorse Bernie Sanders in the primary and her staying in through Super Tuesday when everybody else dropped out and coalesced behind Biden. So then that leaves basically the squad in the House.
It
right?
does, doesn't it? Right. The Democratic Socialists are the squad. Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. So you have a bartender from New York who is now going to be the leader of this movement in AOC. And again, I just don't know if she has the charisma and the insight and the political instinct that Bernie Sanders does to lead the Democrat Socialist Wing movement. She just doesn't seem to have it. She seems to be more of like a pop culture figure. And look, she's definitely exciting to a lot of people on the left. There's no doubt about that. And she's revolted by many people on the right, reviled or whatever the right term is. But she doesn't have the charisma to lead a national movement. And that is a problem for the left. They have to find their next generation of leaders, and they're having a little bit of trouble doing that right now. In contrast, when the day comes that President Trump is done, and I think it'll be several years down the road, not this year, not next year, it'll be many years from now, there are many up-and-coming, exciting, young, nationalist, populist, conservative Republicans on the rise. People anywhere from Senator Cotton to Senator Rubio to Senator Hawley. The left doesn't have that. So there's a real problem for them.
All right. Well, we have some. You revealed to me in the break that you're working on some big, big stories, and we're not going to steal your thunder with regards to those. But let me ask you a kind of technical journalism question. You remember, what was it, March of last year? When was it? I was at the White House. I was there for the social media summit. Brian Karem, quote unquote, a journalist, insults everybody who's there as a guest of the president and then challenges me to a fight in the Rose Garden. The president wants to take away his permanent pass to the White House. A judge says you can't do that, which is strange, as if every journalist in America has a right to a White House press pass. And then today, Matt Boyle, the White House Correspondents Association says that OAN, one of your media colleagues, is banned from being in the White House pool. How does that work? The when you insult the president's guests and get into a fight or try to, your First Amendment rights are exclusively guaranteed, but the White House Correspondents Association doesn't believe in the First Amendment, Matt Boyle?
No, like the White House Correspondents Association has some serious institutional flaws as an organization, and they have a history of changing the rules to fit whatever agenda it is that they're seeking to push. And it's not necessarily always a political agenda. It's more of a protect the media establishment. They've done this to people on the right. They've done it to people on the left, too. There's far left outlets that have been screwed over, and a lot of new media outlets as well. So it's a protecting of the alt guard failed institutions of old media. I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered about the by the White House Correspondents Association as an institution. I think there's a lot of things that need to be dug into, and there's a lot of questions the White House needs to answer. The White House directly negotiates with them. They provide them the authority that they wield to decide who's in the pool and who isn't. They provide them the authority to decide the seating chart in the briefing room. So, maybe the White House should rethink doing certain things there. I don't know. Not my place to say, as I don't represent either organization. That being said, I think there's a lot of institutional flaws with regard to the White House Correspondents Association as a structure that need to be challenged and thought through.
Institutional flaws. That's very diplomatically put. He is Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. Tag him on Twitter so we get him back on that field of battle as well. MBoyle1. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. Also available 24/7 at our website, sebgorka.com. SEBGORKA. Taking your calls after Matt on our next segment here, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Back with Matt in a moment. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
We had the technology. We rebuilt him. The Bionic Dr. G.
Thank you, Deep Voice Dave. Yes, indeed. Piece by piece, they're rebuilding me, and it's getting better every single day. And thank you especially to Mike, if you're out there. Thank you for my handmade walking stick you sent me. 6 foot tall. It's fabulous. He chose the tree. He kiln-dried it. He dyed it, and then he sent it to me. I could just imagine him in the post office with a 6 foot long package. Lots of fun. Thank you, Mike, for what you did. And thank you to our regular guest. He is the Washington political editor for Breitbart.com, Matt Boyle on Twitter, MBoyle1. I'd like to stay on the theme of your colleagues in the media, if I may, Matt, because we are in the middle of this Chinese Wuhan coronavirus national emergency, and there's a very, very disturbing trend occurring. And I'm just going to play you one audio cut to show you, just how bad it is. And this is somebody from the New York Times called Donald McNeil speaking on the Rachel Maddow show. With, it seems like, a script that came from the Central Committee in Beijing. This is Rachel Maddow's show, Donald McNeil, Cut 3.
In China, there are 40,000 doctors, nurses, and respiratory technicians went from all over China to Wuhan and helped the Wuhan doctors fight the virus. There's no more virus in Wuhan. Those doctors have all gone home. There have been victory parades for them, gratitude, flowers, and everything. They're heroes. They have skills in fighting COVID-19. But apparently, when Mr. Trump on Friday talked about his conversation with President Xi of China, he didn't mention that President Xi offered him help. Didn't want to mention that at all. But if you look at the reporting out of China, that was clear. I think it's not a good idea to keep insulting China and baiting them, because if you look far enough down the road, President Trump may have to go to them with his hat in his hand, because we're going to be able to design a great vaccine, but I don't know if we're going to be able to run our vaccine plants if too many are sick. I'm not quite sure. We may need vaccine from China, and they, out of anger, could simply say, sure, it'll be $10,000 a dose. And that's the free market working with you on the bad end of the stick.
So we have to be nice to China in case they blackmail us. And when they offer us help, we should just ignore the fact that they sent faulty PPE equipment, faulty coronavirus testing equipment to Spain, to the Czech Republic and others. Why is the media so willing to just run Chinese communist propaganda, Matt Boyle?
Because the media companies and their establishments, patrons, if you will, the people that pay for these places, the people that own the New York Times, that pay their paychecks and so on and so forth, have helped along the 30-year effort by Vichy leaders in corporate America to sell out America's infrastructure and destroy what the Industrial Revolution and the Greatest Generation built in this country, and ship all of our jobs in manufacturing, including of key critical medical devices and medicines and medications, over to China. And this is the biggest undertold story here. If it wasn't for globalization, we wouldn't be in this crisis right now. This crisis is directly because of globalization, which was engineered by corporatist influence people of whose class the New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, so on and so forth, the whole establishment media is part of. They're champions of this. They are not just apologists for it. They are believers in that worldview, and they helped crush the American middle class. They helped crush the working class here and ship all our jobs over there, and they are doing their best to protect that system. So they understand the threat that exists here to the Chinese Communist Party's globalist expansion project, like the Belt and Road Initiative. We might as well call this virus the Belt and Road virus, okay?
Yes, the Belt and Road. I like that.
The Chinese government's global expansion project, where they are building influence all around the world, including in Italy, which was the first major Western country hit by the coronavirus. It's all because of the Belt and Road Initiative. It's spread around the world. And so on and so forth. So anyway, the point here is that the New York Times has bought into this worldview. They've bought into this vision, and they know that the virus is aftermath. When we do get through this, and President Trump leaves the country out of this mess, there's going to be serious problems for China. They want to protect as much of the globalization as they that has led to this as they possibly can.
But I love that, and that's why you're Matt Boyle, and that's why you're Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. This is the Belt and Road virus. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you, Matt Boyle. Follow this man at Breitbart.com. Read his articles, especially something that might be published tonight. Keep safe, my friend. This is America First. Your call's next on 833-334-6752. But first, a message from Patriot Mobile. They are here to support you and help you right now to stay connected to your family and your loved ones. In this time of the coronavirus, they have decided to reduce all their plan pricing on their mobile phones for a limited period. There has never been a better time to save with Patriot Mobile. Keep your same old phone number, keep your phone, or buy a new one and enjoy no contracts and no hidden fees. And this company is a conservative company. Call them right now, 972 Patriot, or visit patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Use the promo code Gorka to get your activation fees waived and a free gift as well. That number again, 972 Patriot, or patriotmobile.com/GORKA. The conservative mobile phone company, Patriot Mobile.
He may have been born in Britain, but now his heart is America's. It's your favorite legal immigrant, President Trump's former strategist, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
That's legal immigrant, if you were wondering. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Is it okay to be a bit of a geek? I'm a bit of a geek. It's true. If you are too. And if you like documentaries as much as I do. You've got to see Dennis Prager's new documentary. I don't think there's ever been a film, a documentary film, that has received a 99% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes like Dennis's new movie, No Safe Spaces. It is that good. I've seen it. And right now, because we know you're cooped up, Dennis has given you 25% off streaming, downloading, or ordering the DVDs. DVDs, do people use DVDs anymore? I do. That's how much of a geek I am. Go to safespaces.com. The film is co-hosted with Adam Carolla, special guest Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, and Tim Allen. Go to safespaces.com and promo code SAVE25. Did you catch General Milley yesterday? Wow. It was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs speaking at the coronavirus response team briefing in the White House, and it was something out of a movie about World War II. It was fabulous. We're going to go to your calls in a second. The number is 833-334-6752. But I'm going to play this several times today because it is just that shiver-making. This is General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, yesterday in the White House. Cut six.
We're at war with COVID-19. We're at war with terrorists. And we are at war with the drug cartels as well. This is the United States military. You will not penetrate this country. You will not get past Jump Street. You're not going to come in here and kill additional Americans. And we will marshal whatever assets are required to prevent your entry into this country to kill Americans. So right now, the Navy has marshaled additional Greyhound ships from both PACOM and UCOM and for the Naval Fleet at Norfolk. And they are set sail already, and they are in the Caribbean right now. In addition to that, there's 10 Coast Guard cutters and there's Special Operations Forces and Security Force Assistance Brigades, along with Air Force reconnaissance aircraft. The bottom line is you're not going to get through. Now is not the time to try to penetrate the United States with illegal drugs to kill Americans. With the United States military, we will defend our country regardless of the cost.
Now, there's lots of theories. I was on Breitbart Radio this morning with my friend Alex Marlowe about why was that announcement made yesterday by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs during the COVID coronavirus briefing? I didn't get the down low from the White House. I'm not bugging the president. But it's interesting, isn't it? Why now? I'll tell you why. Because we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And if you're one of our enemies, and you think you're going to take advantage of the fact that we are under a national emergency and Americans are at home, you've got another thing coming. Watch the video of General Milley if you want to see a very, very serious man. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to DJ in Florida, line 3. Welcome, DJ.
Yes, sir. Long time waiting for you. But
we appreciate your patience, DJ. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a wee-wee. China has 1,500,000,000 people. If they lose 500 million people, and we only have 400 million people in the United States, they'll win the whole bank. We moved our factories over there. They have all our technology. They could be the new America under communism, and that would be that's my information to you.
Thank you. It's not quite that simple. They can steal technology, but they can't innovate. So they can steal stuff, and they do every single day, but they cannot invent and innovate. And that's why we are the most powerful nation in the world. Thank you, DJ. Let's go to Josh in line 2 in Ohio. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hi.
So I was just wondering, because Trump's one of my idols, and my uncle actually told me about
how old are you, Josh?
I'm 13.
Welcome, Josh. Do you listen to a lot of talk radio?
I do listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to Ben Shapiro and Andrew Knowles almost every day.
What about Andrew Clavin? Do you listen to Mike Knowles'
bud? I listen to him occasionally, yeah.
You should listen to him more. He's great. Go ahead, Josh. What's your question?
So Trump's one of my idols. I've looked up to him in 5th grade. I was just wondering, what was the experience working for him like when you were his, I think you were his advisor, right?
Yeah, I was his deputy assistant, his strategist. It was like no other job, Josh. It was defined by a man who only wants results, a person who doesn't want sycophants. Do you know what a sycophant is?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Sycophant. A sycophant is a person who just says yes to his boss. Never says anything bad. Doesn't tell him the truth if it's unpleasant. Donald Trump, the president, Donald Trump, the businessman, wants the truth and he wants results. And for me, Josh, you have to understand, there's a reason I've got a bit of an accent. I wasn't born in America. I am an American now, but I was an immigrant, a legal immigrant. And the idea that in the greatest nation on God's earth, I can rise to the position of deputy assistant to the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, working for Donald Trump as president, wasn't about working for Donald Trump. It was about America. Every single day I walked around the White House, around the West Wing, as an immigrant to this nation. It chilled me. It gave me goosebumps that this is how great our nation is. So your admiration for the president is well-deserved. The best way to tell you what it was like, I've written a couple of books, Josh, about my experience in the White House. Could I send you a couple of signed copies of my books?
That would be awesome. I love to read.
Okay, good. So, Josh, stay on the line. We'll send Josh the two most relevant books, which are Why We Fight, has a lot of stuff about my time in the White House, and my last book, which is The War for America's Soul. Stay on the line, Josh, and keep listening to talk radio. God bless you. Yes, we have the best callers. This is America First, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th President of the United States. God bless you, Josh, and your uncle. We are broadcasting from ReliefFactor.com Studios. Relief Factor, natural pain relief that I want you to take. If you're suffering from daily pain, I don't care what it is, your knee, your shoulder, your ankle, if it's preventing you from sports activities, golf, or just going for a walk with your loved ones, what are you waiting for, man or woman? Try it. It works. I have been taking it for 16 months now because it works. Look at the incredible video testimonials from Americans across the country who are getting their lives back at Relief Factor and then take the step you know you should take. Order your three-week quick starter pack. It's just $19.95, less than a dollar a day, and find out if Relief Factor can work for you like it works for me and those tens of thousands of Americans. I guarantee you, if you order it at ReliefFactor.com, it'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And if you take it morning and evening, as do I, you will know if it works for you. And seriously, as the president says, what have you got to lose? Less than a dollar a day? You can't even buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks for a dollar. So do this instead. Take the decision to see if you can lose the pain like I did. It's so simple. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls here on America First, 833-334-6752. We're going to go to the ladies, Sophia and Judy next. Stand by.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
Is it okay to be a little bit naughty? Can I be naughty? I'm going to blame Tom, my colleague at Salem. He just sent me a meme of a very sad Bill Clinton. And the meme says, "No matter how bad things may be, at least you're not quarantined with Hillary." Be thankful, my friends. Be thankful. If you're thankful, and if you want to help somebody who's been attacked for being a good man, for being a Christian, he's called Mike Lindell. Support his company, MyPillow.com. After he mentioned God and the Bible at the White House, they came after him. Support him. He's making masks for first responders. Buy some of his products to show how much you support him and his Christian vision. MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. That's MyPillow.com. 800-829-8468, and use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for 60% off, because Mike likes you that much. Judy, you can't call in and say you're not going to tell Mr. G why you're calling in. That's just rude. Judy, line two, why are you being so mystical and mysterious?
Because I need to throw you off your balance a little.
Why?
Why? Because I like to hear your instincts. What should I tell you? I want to tell you something. You know you're my favorite doctor. You know that.
Well, yeah, but just don't ask me to write a prescription because we'll both get in trouble.
So, but guess what? You didn't protect me because you know what? You just said that you're a geek. So I decided I called Jeff the next day. You remember I called you and I said you are the tell it like it is doctor.
Yes. Yes.
And you had me like, and then I told you some other stuff.
Yes.
There are punks and scum that might hate you, but
yes.
Most everyone.
And we used it. We used that audio the next day.
You're not kidding. And then I'm walking around and all of a sudden I hear myself and I go, oh my God, I sound like a nerd.
That, what's wrong with that? I just admitted to being a nerd. What's wrong with that?
That's right. You said you're a geek. So I said, if you're a geek, I may as well call you and say, I feel like a really geeky nerd. And I don't like to feel like a geek nerd, but if you're one, then I'm in good company. I don't tell you.
Why don't you want to be a geeky nerd, Judy?
Because I'm always trying to be, what's the word? Like very
cool. Very cool.
Exactly. Very cool.
Shad. What's wrong with being, is there anything wrong with being a geek, Shad?
No, I can tell you, Judy. I've been a geek all my life. And it's awesome. I feel great.
As he sits there in his plaid, red and black checked shirt. I'm not joking. It's so cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah? You're with the ties and the scarves. Dr. Gork, I want to tell you something.
You can't. We're out of time. Will you stay on the line? We'll take some calls. Judy, stay on the line. Sophia, Rory, Rob, don't go anywhere. I'm going to break my own rules. We'll take some calls at the top of the hour. And then, wow. Mr. Bill Gertz on the coronavirus. You know you don't want to miss a second of the man who understands China and the threat it is better than most. Bill Gertz here on America First, and your calls, and me, your only slightly geeky host, Sebastian Gorka. Don't touch that dial.